DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Price.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Hey, welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
I am Bryce.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm the last one here.
And apparently we didn't organize this at all.
Nope,
no, because we're
not
all like,
all.
Wait a minute.
I know, I was like, wait, who's going next?
We've done this show forever and still just a train wreck.
We're waiting for Big Jim to sound up.
Yeah, that pause you heard between each name was us waiting for Big Jim. Blame it on the guy who can't defend himself.
Damn right.
Do you guys have conference calls at work?
This week I found a video that I sent out to everyone, and we've all watched it, yes?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. And how does everyone feel about it?
Not really sure how I feel about German Scheiste porn, but, you know.
No, the other video.
Oh. Oh, got it. So it wasn't the one with the two chicks?
No. You weren't supposed to talk about that.
Oh, my bad. I misunderstood the rules.
That's that hush-hush dark web stuff you guys have been watching.
Yeah.
I don't know what
you were the
about.
Only one that got that video, too, so...
Yes. I feel special now.
I feel left out now.
This is a topic that we've had on the show a number of times, and it's one that, as I was saying before we started recording, that I kind of like doing because it really fires Bryce up. And anytime Bryce gets fired up, it's a good show. So I saw that video and immediately thought of Bryce and sent it to him, and then I went, you know what, I should send it to everyone. And so this week we're going to talk about a video. I don't know the guy's name. I tried to find it earlier today. He's a retired bishop in the, I want to say Catholic Church, but I can't be totally sure. And basically, the video is, and I'll get a link up when we post the show because I've got it right here. He's basically saying what we've said on this show before, and that is hell was made up by the church mm-hmm. as a way to instill fear. So they're easier to control. Mm-hmm. And this was, I found this on Facebook, and I've got a whole mess of comments on the video that while they're trying to defend God and their belief, they kind of make the point that the bishop was making.
Yeah.
And that is that essentially hell is a made-up place and the Bible's full of shit. Now, Samantha, I don't think you've ever been on one of these shows where we just rail on religion in general.
I'm
so,
not.
What is your belief system before we just totally stomp on it?
Oh goodness gracious!
the million-dollar question.
I am a woman of faith, so I very liberally. However, I did not like my religious background is very spotty. My dad is atheist, would not allow us to learn anything about any religion. Wouldn't allow anything in the house. I actually snuck out to go to Bible school when I was a kid. I got to go drinking. I was like, well, because you're a kid, your parents are giving you zero answers of anything in life, and you're just like, okay, it is not my mom's fault. She's amazing, but and she tried. It was just my dad shut everything down, and we had no guidance at all. So you have questions, and there's no one to answer them, so you got to go get them yourself. And then all the pressure the girls in school put on me was like, oh, I'll take you to church. We'll do this. We'll do that. I was just like, no, I'm good. I'll just figure shit out on my own. And then when I was stationed in Greece, had a wonderful church there. And all I wanted to do was sing in the choir. I had been in choirs my whole life. It'd been a couple years, and that's all I wanted to do. So I would show up to practice. I would sing. I would show up to church. I would sing, and then I would leave. And then we started singing at the beginning and the end. So I was just like, I'll just sit in the back and whatever. So I was just, the church hooked me through music. So, but no, I am fully aware of some of the BS that does go on, and I don't want to fall victim to crap like that, but
so this could be interesting in that you could actually kind of take the pro-God side.
Possibly. Hopefully.
That'll be interesting. So, Bryce, keep that in mind. Don't piss off Samantha. Unless we can get you two in the same room so you can throw punches.
Well, you know, Samantha, in the same respects as you, you know, I kind of had to find my own because my family grew up, well, my mother grew up Catholic, my father grew up Lutheran, and neither one of them wanted religion in our house either, so I, too, had to kind of seek it out. Of course, I was never a church-going kind of guy. I usually thought they were all full of shit anyway, but what the book had to say in the right context and on the whole spoke a nice, true story to me, but I treated it like reading Lord of the Rings. You know, you take some good parables out of it, you take some good stories from it, it makes you a decent human being for not being an asshole to everybody you meet, Bryce.
Right, well, and that's what...
But much like exactly in Lord of the Rings,
the way
you know,
I see it,
there are bad sides to it, and I mean, just like everything, it needs to be taken into context. When they wrote it, what were the rules of the world at the time? You know, everything about the Bible would be contextually important. If you don't know the era in which it was written, then it's really hard to understand. Why the fuck don't they want to eat meat on Fridays and Mondays? That just sounds silly. It is silly, yeah. But at the same time, it was just the time. It's like reading a book nowadays back in the 1950s. They'll look at you and go, what the hell is wrong with you? Well, and that's the thing. There's a lot of fucked up shit in there, but at the same time, the overall story is about this one guy who's like, quit being assholes to each other, and everyone continued to be assholes to each other. Yeah, no, it doesn't stop them from doing it, but at least there are some good concepts to be taken from it, so long as you don't treat it as an overall gospel of true...
Hey, Dan, you're wearing one type of fabric, right?
Do what?
You're only wearing one type of fabric, right? You're not mixing fibers.
Yeah, no, it's called skin.
It'd be a shame if James had to bash your head in with a rock.
Well,
I've got a rock right here.
You have to consider who wrote that aspect of it and what rules are taken.
Look, you've pissed off the dogs, okay?
Hey, I'm just saying. But it's one of those things, too, where it's like, again, stuff like that gets taken out of context. And unfortunately, that's where we get, like, militant people who follow it will use that as an excuse to be an asshole.
And I'm going to make that point here because,
I think you're in the wrong line of reading.
That were on with this video. And taken out of context, they make the point that the person who posted it want to make.
Oh, yeah.
But if you take the full thing... And, Bryce, I might have you pull some of these up. I got a little... thing here that says God says versus what you say, and it has the Bible verse. I might have you pull it up so we can see what the actual Bible says. If you wouldn't mind, yeah. We'll get to that in a little bit. But for myself, I just find that the Bible is so full of contradictions that it cannot be used as a guide to life.
And I can understand that. My big thing about it is just like with any fantasy fiction, you take what you take from it. You take the good with the bad. You try to work out what's important. And you don't have to live your life by the Bible. But you know what? There's some decent stories in it that tell of decent concepts. There's a lot of bad shit in it, too. And if you get into Revelations, then you're just talking fantasy apocalypse.
We're going to talk Revelations because a couple people pulled quotes from Revelations, and I think that's fucking
spoiler
hysterical.
Alert, God Ben comes back and fucks shit up.
well, that's the thing,
I think the overall
Bible is a man-made thing.
I think the overall thing that we can all agree on is that the one thing that you can take from the Bible is don't be a shitheel.
Right.
Yes.
And I think just about every religion, the one message that comes across in almost every religion is don't be a shitheel.
Yeah.
And I think we live in a time where we can do away with religion and just
not be shitheels.
It would be nice. I don't think we have to use this promise of glorious eternal life or eternal damnation to get people to not be shitheels.
True. However, the one thing I'll
first base,
on that note,
right?
The promise of afterward. There's still a large.
Oh wait, sorry. They just go all the way.
And, you know, I think all of us.
Cardinal McCandy.
But the fear of death in the respects of what the hell happens after the fact does lead a lot of people to ask the question, "What the hell happens after we die?" Now, for me, I think of things on the scientific method of things. Depending on how you die, I mean, if you're run over by a truck and everything about you is splattered across the freeway, your existence ends right there. If you die quietly in your bed, for what I can gather and what I'm estimating is your
God created hell for Satan
will literally be a dream. And since in the mind time is relative, it could last an eternity to you. It would last literally seconds in the real world, but it could seem that way. So if you've led a shitheel life...
Dan, you and I are completely simpatico because I was just about to bring up... There's actually been scientific study that says that when your body goes, your brain lives on for a minute or two.
Yeah, that's about it.
And just like when you're asleep and you're dreaming, you can dream a couple of years of time in your dream. So your brain could...
give you paradise,
give you eternity, essentially, before you wink out. So depending on where your mindset is in that point. Now, that being said, someone who doesn't believe could theoretically dream of heaven before their existence flickers out.
Absolutely.
But they've never believed in God or had that, which lends to the argument of people with near-death experiences.
Right.
They die on the table or whatever, and then they're brought back. Mm-hmm. For that, however long they were dead, they could have dreamt of heaven.
True.
Come back and suddenly become completely religious because their brain fed them that
Yeah. But more so to the point, I mean, I always talked about people with near-death experiences. I know people have clinically died on the table and been brought back. The thing about it is whether you're a true believer, somebody who's hardcore about it,
not to be confused
it,
with
somebody
the Satanic
who
Temple,
at all,
which is completely different.
If you didn't actually die, you weren't actually dead. Because they cannot reanimate a corpse. Once you're dead, you're done. That's game over. There is no coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart may stop. Your brain activity might slow down to next to nothing, but you are not actually dead until you are
dead. It's an atheist
so
mockery of Christianity.
So near-death experiences means, to me, and this is just my personal point of view,
it's
was
an
not
atheist mockery of Christianity.
It was a comatose
they
state
use,
of your body that
they
was
generally
revitalized shortly
the
thereafter.
Tools
because,
that
again,
Christians
death
use
is
to try and pass
there
their
is no
laws
reset
in government
there is no second
to
chance.
Protect
after it happens,
people.
It's done.
Like,
see, I would agree
with
that to
abortion,
the point of
like
you
the
can
mandatory
still call it
near waiting period in Texas.
You're close.
Goes
you're very close.
Their religious
yeah, exactly.
Beliefs,
thank you, Samantha.
So they're able to sue on those
so
grounds.
So, yeah, I think we're all talking... We're all kind of on the same wavelength as far as what we're
they
talking
they do some
about.
Wonderful
and
work.
So that can lead into next. So this video, which again, hopefully if you listen to this, you will have seen the link and gone to the video and watched it yourself. This bishop essentially goes on to say that hell was created by the church as a way to instill fear into followers to follow the doctrine that they set forth. If you're bad or you don't follow
grab
our
the Ouija
rules,
board.
You go to the bad place. Mm-hmm. If you're good, you go to the good place. And I think it comes out, those two things comes out of a fear of the unknown of what happens when you die. And still to this day persists because we don't know what happens.
Absolutely.
And we never will until we're on that point. And there's no way we're going to be able to report back
right.
to the rest. Oh, hey, this is what happens. Cause
I'd love to be wrong.
As Dan so eloquently put, when you're dead, that's it. You're done.
Game out.
So essentially, from the time that religion was created, way back when people looked up at the sun and went, what the hell is that? It must be a god. Mm-hmm.
At least it's tangible.
Religion comes from a lack of scientific understanding.
True. I'll give you that.
And fear of the unknown. We don't know what it is. It must be religious. And it's also a way of storytelling. If you look at Greek myths,
yeah,
those myths are essentially the religion of the time.
True.
So
then you look at the parables between Gilgamesh and a lot of the stories in the Bible. I mean, it's basically what's the word? Rehash.
Well, you just look at the parallels between Islam and Christianity.
Oh, they're all basically the same.
It's
for
the
all
same story, yeah.
And their concepts are almost identical. I mean, the Quran in and of itself, the first... Let's see, I got into the first 250 pages of that, and I put it down because, quite frankly, I wanted something a bit more enjoyable. nothing personal. It took me a long time to get through the Bible, too, but... It was, you know, I put it down, but
in the wrong line of reading.
No, it's fascinating for me because it opens up my ability to understand extremists and the way that they cut and paste their own extreme ideals out of a doctrine. It's no different than, you know, Christian extremists. It's all the same concept, but what they're missing in a lot of it is they're almost identical. I mean, it's not fair to really bring up Judaism because the Torah is basically the first books of the Christian Bible, the Old Testament, reworked and reworded. But that's pretty much
Judaism isn't... God is fairly wrathful.
True. But that was one of those things where that's why the New Testament was kind of... It was the Lutheran of the Old Testament.
It was
like, wait a minute.
It was essentially God went to Alcohols Anonymous and went, you know, I was a shitheel. I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to be a shitheel.
I'm
an alcoholic. Debate that.
My God.
I've been an asshole for a couple of
years. I don't care. It's in the fucking Bible. If it's referenced, it's a part of it.
I promise I won't do it again. Until Revelations.
So I want to get to some of these comments that these guys...
They're still not considered people by
these people
most
wrote.
Religions.
And there was just a lot of just, you know, oh, you don't understand, back and forth. But the ones that I pulled were trying to make points. And unfortunately, I think they made points against themselves. For instance, the first comment on the video was, stupid, unlearned, retired bishop.
Yes, Godzilla, I agree.
Right there in the first four words, he really made a point against himself. First of all, Bishop. The guy spent his life in the church. Mm-hmm. If
has
anyone knows the church...
The Bible deeply.
Exactly.
The only thing higher than a bishop, I think, is a cardinal, and a cardinal goes right into...
Cardinal's right under Pope, yeah.
Right?
First
base. Slides right in the first.
Who's on first? Cardinal.
Priest is on bat.
So,
bat second.
So the guy contradicts himself with the first three words and the fourth word, which is stupid, unlearned, retired bishop. Pretty much the guy devoted his life to the church, to the study of the Bible. And he goes on to say, God made hell for Satan and his cohorts. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, if you guys know better, but I think Satan created hell when he was cast out of heaven.
God created hell.
Yeah. He kind of opened up a void after Lucifer's little revolution failed. And, he was put there. But that goes into another conversation that I'm just going to let you get through the comments for. Because the whole Lucifer and God thing, that's all been blown way the fuck out anyway.
I find that whole story, and I'm not as familiar with it as I'd like to be, but the whole story of the war in heaven between God and the angels. I find that completely fascinating and very contradictory to a lot of what Christians believe in the Bible. So, but that might be a discussion for another time after I've studied the story a bit more. Okay, so the guy goes on to say, when people love the devil, they will follow him and go where he goes, to hell. I don't think people have love for the devil.
Hey, wait a minute.
I just think they have absence of...
I mean, that's a actual recognized religion, is a Satanist, heathen, you know, some call it heathenist, but if you go back to, like, paganism, heathenism is actually Norse, you know, right. multi-god pantheon.
But that's not Satanism.
No, it's not. But
it's not following the doctorate.
Yeah.
Right, but that word often gets dragged through the mud, is a heathenist, is not exactly a Satanist. It's not a Satanist. But so anyway, so Satanists, they're going to pray to and praise Satan, the devil, whatever have you, the same way that that Christians and some extremists will praise God. And, you know, so it is a recognized religion.
But
not to be confused with the Satanic Temple, which is completely different.
Right.
Well, I actually happen to know that the religion of Satanism has nothing to do with God or Satan. The religion of Satanism is actually just more actually just kind of a
don't worship. Be a shitheel.
Well, no, it's actually be a shitheel.
Do what you want, but don't be a
shitheel.
Yes, shit
that's a great way to put it, Bryce.
I'm sorry, Bryce, make that point again.
It's an atheist mockery of Christianity.
Thank you, yes.
They generally use the tools that Christians use to try and pass their laws in government to protect people, like preventing abortion, like the mandatory waiting period in Texas, goes against their religious beliefs, so they're able to sue on those grounds.
And God bless him for it.
Satan be praised.
Hail Satan!
Well, you know, and that's the thing,
but
too.
But those,
like,
are also learned people who are trying to do something, you know, trying to protect people. Now, you've got little Vanessa and Whitney in suburbia who want to rebel against their family and go hang out, you know, dress all in black and wear black makeup and go hang out in a cemetery, praise Satan. Yeah, with their... exactly.
What else
so,
do you want to pray?
You know, and, you know, then you have that, and that's what gets attention. You know,
See, and what bugs me about the whole concept of Satanism in and of itself is, you know, it would be like... If you go back to the original origin of the story of Lucifer in and of himself... he wasn't necessarily so much butthurt at us directly, so much as he was butthurt that he had second child syndrome, thought God was making a mistake, and thought he could do it better. And so when he lost, he got kicked the fuck out, which, you know, in and of itself might make him butthurt at us. But at the same time, you can't really have love for someone who genuinely thinks you're a piece of shit. And it's not like you're going to get rewarded by him. Even if you are a hard believer, it's kind of an oxymoron. It'd be like a gay Jewish black dude worshiping Hitler. It's like, you know you're not going to be homies when you meet, right? I'm just saying. But at the same time, it's like, that's going back to the origin of this story. It's like, he has no love, no appreciation for us in particular. He just thought God was doing a stupid thing by putting us first. But in and of itself, that whole story concept is flawed all around anyway.
Well, no, it's completely flawed, because if Satan hates us as much as...
He's supposed to,
is supposed
Christian
to, why is he so hell-bent, pardon the pun, on keeping us from getting into heaven? Why is he constantly... I mean, what's the point of that? Wouldn't he want to keep us out
it's
of
like
heaven, but
side.
Out of hell?
It's like the good side.
So that
side.
Way we can suffer
well,
for
I think it's...
the love that God gave us that he... felt deserved, that he was deserving of.
I think it falls under the good son. You guys know the movie with Macaulay Culkin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's just a shitheel who doesn't necessarily want to succeed, but he certainly doesn't want you to succeed either. He's like, no, no, no,
of people
watch this. It's super fun. And it is. But then again, that kind of draws, you know, I think the one thing I drew from a lot of religions in general was to try to teach people how not to basically think with your dick. How to put a reference on ourselves and go, your natural instinct to see that hot chick over there, don't just tackle her and fuck her. Because that's bad.
That's bad, okay?
Which is the one thing I gathered from a lot of these type of, you know, religious text is how to control one's basic instincts of, if you want something, don't steal it. Work for it. Put in the effort. If you fall in love with someone, make sure that's reciprocated. Follow in love with them. And Bryce, again, you start quoting Old Testament, I'm going to slap you. No.
It's in the fucking Bible.
I know.
It's a part of it.
But again, that's being a shitheel. And in the time and reference, women weren't people. So, you know.
Well, throughout the entirety of the Bible, women weren't people.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like, but there are parables that talk about it.
Religion.
True. Yeah.
Right, but it's one of those things where had somebody not put down a ground rule of, you know, doing these type of things to other people is a bad idea. Now, granted, the way they went about it was they were using fear to control people, and I always disagree with that argument concept in and of itself. But... but at the same time, it's just one of those things where it's like, that set down the principle for that time and era. Nowadays, we're in such a society where we have more information available to us. We have more person-to-person experiences. We have more people in general to share these different types of experiences with one another to allow us a much more broader view on what is right action without ever having been able to answer that question. And that was the only thing it gave us back in the day, was it gave us a small reference on what is right action. Of course, again, that's good old Socrates punching you in the gut and saying, it's not a question to be answered, but a question to be pondered. What is right action? And that was all it was meant to do in that thought process. Now, this is just my opinion. Again, shit on me all you want, but it's just my opinion that it was just a frame of reference, as James and I said, to not be a shitheel. Because prior to that, everyone was just acting on basic instinct. If you wanted something, you took it. If someone fought you, you killed them. It was simple. You could take whatever the fuck you wanted if you were stronger, faster, and smarter. But it didn't matter once this came along. It was like, no, that's not okay. That's not the way we need to play if we're going to live together. And again, everything got taken out of context, especially once the New Testament was written, because then they had all these different people writing these different sections of this book, all talking about contradictory things. We had one guy who was a known asshole, and then we had one guy who was trying to tell a decent story, and then the next guy who's kind of in the middle of the line, but really in it for his own ends. So you have all these different stories that trademark these different points of views, all trying to talk about the same thing, using it as a guise to push their own will upon others, which is where the lines get really gray. That's where you really get some sketchy information.
And let's focus on that for a minute, because a lot of what these people, not just these people, but all people, fail to understand. The common belief is that the Bible was written by man through the hand of God. Mm-hmm. However, God gave man free will, mm-hmm. which contradicts the whole hand of God thing. So these people are writing the story of God,
knowing full well they can amend as they will.
Completely amend throughout the whole thing. So whatever their belief. So let's...
Well, and you have to take into account translation.
That too.
Yeah, there's that too. And again, the Bible has been translated millions of times.
Numerous times. So and who knows
it's,
what was changed.
Exactly. Well, so whoever wrote it, whoever translated it, may have not liked the translation, go, you know what, I don't agree with that. Let's tweak it a little here.
Well, that stuff happens now. Stieg Larsson's books, you know, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and all those, like his original trilogy, when it was broadened into English, I mean, there's been translators that are like, this is total, that still happens now. Imagine then, handwritten, person to person to person. We just don't know.
And on top of that, you have to consider how much of it was actually left out, because it did not, let's say, suit the story the way that they wanted it to. There's aspects of the Bible that haven't really actually been released, A, because they just decide not to, or B, it's just they feel it's not important. But that was a decision made so long ago that nobody can actually remember to think about
it. Well, and do we... Another question is there anyone around who can actually translate the original text? And does the original text even still exist? Or has that been completely lost to time?
That too.
I mean, without the original text and someone who can translate it faithfully, mm-hmm. we really don't know what the original one... We could be so far and away from what the original texts were.
But that's what Mormons are for. They were book three.
That was one of my favorite episodes of South Park ever.
I love the ever-living crap out of the Book of Mormon, the real Book of Mormon. The play is hilarious beyond reason, but no, the Book of Mormon talks about how after, let's see, what was it? It was a great calamity that happened during Jesus' time. He sent a giant portion of Jews to America to live under a new guise. After he was crucified, he was resurrected over on...
In a wooden submarine, did you say?
Pretty much, yeah.
We all live in a wooden submarine.
Serious, dude. But he resurrects once over there and then once over here and tells them they got it wrong. They missed so much of what I wanted them to do, and this is actually what I want you to do. They chiseled it out on golden plates and buried it. And then Joseph Smith, gets visited by an angel, which was one of the followers back in the day, told to dig him back up, and boom! Book of Mormon is born. Hilarious in its essence. But that's the concept. They literally took a gospel that was pre-existing and their own spin on it under the same name.
Taking it all
in. Just said, but this is the way we want to do it. It's just like Lutherans. Martin Luther saw how the Catholic Church was being, you know, shiesty as fuck back in the day.
I may disagree with some of your points.
Basically selling tickets to paradise. And he stood back and go, wonderful. Wait a fucking minute. And that's how Lutheran's doctrine became a thing. Granted, this was the same man who would regularly record
the
his
messenger.
Own vowel movements and color, shape, text, smell.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. Luther was a poop... reporter. He wrote it down. This was a very strange man. But he brought to life a new way of thinking about the same doctrine. And all the different branches therein have done the exact same thing. The only difference is what this bishop was talking about was hell was created to scare people in basically scare them straight.
Most religions rule by fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of what happens after you die.
Yeah.
Because you can't control that. You can only control how you live. Mm-hmm. How do you control people?
Fear.
Fear.
That's the easiest.
The easiest way to control anyone is through fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what religion does. That's what politics does.
Yeah.
You get people in line by fear, and we're seeing it right now. And speaking of what we're seeing right now, I'm reading down these quotes, and the main guy I pulled from, because he put so much up, and he was really well written, but he just contradicts himself so much. One of his comments was, all of this was written thousands of years ago and is happening now. The stuff I'm about to read has been happening all throughout history.
Right.
You can pull this quote at any time and say, oh, we're living in the end times.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the shit happens all the time. It's called weather. It's called nature.
Well, and on top of that, you ever think of all those homeless guys who are like, the end is nigh, you know?
The
end is always. It's ever going. And honestly, we're only heading for self-extinction anyway.
The end is nigh. Bill Nye's cousin.
Right? Interesting guy.
So, I'm going to read three quotes from the book of Jeremiah here. And given what has just happened in Florida and Texas, behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain on the hand, on the head of the wicked.
Pretty sure we've had hurricanes before.
Tornadoes.
Tornadoes, typhoons. Hurricanes, typhoons, whatever you want.
The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he has done it, and until he have performed the intents of the heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. Thus said the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth.
Now, I'm going to make a point here, and, you know,
please.
It's an interesting point. The whole Texas situation, my good friend, his family lives down there, and they're Buddhist. And by the old school doctrine, that, just like Samantha was saying, would technically fall under a heathenistic religion. Does not believe in the one God, does not believe in the followings of Jesus Christ of any kind. They are Buddhists. They made it through that storm just fine. So it's like,
well,
swing and a miss, God.
Manuscripts. Buddha came to Jesus to teach him about how to spread his word of loving one
about
another.
About how to not be a shameful.
Right?
Yes. So Buddha came to Jesus in a dream, or in a what's it called?
A vision?
Vision's not the word I'm thinking. Meditative state.
Okay.
But actually, in Christianity, you can't meditate because that's you're not supposed to meditate because that's inviting spirits into your body. It's a whole thing. So,
it's like masturbating.
But
it's not okay.
Buddha came to Jesus to teach him how to spread his word. So. What?
Fucking damn.
Well, you know, and you're absolutely right. And that's another thing, too. In Islam, Muhammad actually recognizes Jesus as a prophet,
yep,
but not the Son of God. And that's
Judaism as well.
That's it. Mm-hmm. They all recognize each other as prophets, but none of them are the Son of God. None of them are the embodiment therein, because that's something that just cannot exist.
Which makes me suspect that at the time when these people existed, Muhammad, Jesus, Buddha, all of these people, they were all just prophets, not unlike Nostradamus.
Right.
But their teachings were taken as the word of God.
Yeah.
When all of these people were just prophets, just good people.
Philosophers.
Thank you. They were the Socrates of their time, just trying to make people understand to not be shitheels.
And that's what I've been on for the longest time, is it's like...
Not being a shitheel?
Masturbating? No, masturbating regularly, thank you. Which is why I'm not afraid of hell, because if there is one, I'm going there. Got a backlog. But no, I mean, that's the whole concept that I've tried to run through people, is it's like, believe everything you want in life. If it makes you a better person, cool. That's one of the big teachings that I got from, like, Socrates. What is right action? I mean, it's a contemplative thought that will expand beyond religion. It'll expand beyond politics. It'll expand beyond everything. It completely encompasses everything in your life without you even really thinking about it, until you stop to go, okay, wait a minute. What I think is right now is wrong for somebody else. Is wrong for these other people. Okay, so how right was that? Maybe I need to rework that. Maybe I need to rethink my decision making on that. You know, is it something that's good for me and it's going to be good for a lot of people? Cool. Then that's as close to right as I can get. I'm going to stick with that. However, there's always going to be negative connotations in everything we do. Just like there's positive connotations in everything we do. I mean, you know, anytime something bad happens, there is good that comes from it, although it is harder to see nowadays, because a lot of the time when something bad happens, that's everybody's focal point, because it's so much easier to piss people off than it is to say, hey, this is something we need to learn from so it doesn't happen again. You know, and
angry people are just as easy to control as fearful people, because
exactly.
You can direct the anger.
Exactly. Those are our two basic instincts that we need to try to work through and try to control better. our fear and our easily agitated state.
See, I think
the hardest things to control.
I think religion controls through fear, why politicians and politics control through anger.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they'll piss you off about something.
And
so
we're seeing it. Like, the proof of that has been happening
every day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's been happening since. Exactly. Trump is a master at directing anger.
Yeah. I mean, that's how he got elected in the first place. He pissed enough people off about everything, and they were like, fuck yeah, I'll want him.
And if there's one compliment I can give to Trump, although I wouldn't call it a compliment, he's really good at inciting and directing anger
and hatred. Because
well, that goes along with it.
They go hand in hand in and of themselves.
Bryce, I think you would agree with that, right?
Yeah.
Man, a few words.
Uno word. Sorry, Bryce, I've been kind of running over shit.
That's fine.
My apologies, bro.
Just sitting back, taking it all in.
Well, you can call me an asshole and tell me I'm wrong now, because honestly, being right is not that important to me.
No, I think...
You may disagree with some of your thoughts. What makes this country wonderful.
Well, and it's what makes this podcast wonderful is that we can...
Sorry, I just got Bryce's photo.
What? There's a photo?
He sent it to the group chat. We should got to put it in, like, show notes. Well, I think a lot of things change... Because the church being shady is nothing new. Politicians being shady is nothing new. And a lot of viewpoints started changing when more and more...
You said Matthew 11:17, right?
Okay, I'm definitely posting that.
You said Matthew 11:17 because I'm getting something different.
When more and more people were able to started reading, because
I was like, we played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn.
They controlled what people read. So before, the general public was able to read. Priests, pastors, bishops, cardinals, they were the only ones allowed to read. Men and women alike. Peasants, general population could not
read. Called
an
iPad.
We're not allowed to read. And then slowly men were allowed to read. However, they were not allowed to read the Bible. Only preachers, pastors, what have you, religious leaders were allowed to read the Bible. So even as people were allowed to read, they still were not allowed to read the Bible. So no matter what, they still had to go off of what that religious leader said.
Mm-hmm. Who could take the messages that he read in the Bible and
warp them?
Warp them to whatever he wanted to.
They wanted to.
Exactly. And I figured
that out
when I was going to church.
Not quite sure if this is what
you're
going for.
It kind of dawned on me that during some lesson that the pastor was giving,
blows and wounds scrub away evil and beings pure the inmost being.
That's what the Bible says.
Alright, and that was why I picked it up and read it my damn self.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where you kind of have to stop and go, wait. I think you're full of shit, and I think you're taking it out of context. And
exactly.
I think you're bending it the wrong fucking direction. We had... My wife, she's been a fairly devout Lutheran, mostly with her grandmother.
Well,
I mean,
spare the
rod,
spoil the
child. She's open-minded about everything, but she goes to church with her grandmother.
Those
a
who
lot,
spare the rod of
thing.
Discipline hate their children,
and
those who
the
love
guy
their
they
children
were
care
for a
enough
while,
to discipline them.
For some reason, could not get past referencing the Bible to World War II. In every sermon he ever did, dude brought Nazi Germany. And there
Leviticus
came a time, I went
up
with him a couple of times, and every time I went, I was like, holy shit, dude. God, I mean, I was starting to suspect that this guy was secretly a Nazi at one point in his life and was trying to justify his thought processes by using the Bible.
2030?
2035?
I'm sorry, I didn't get the last part.
And it's like, no. Sorry, dude. And so I actually was talking to my wife about these things. My discrepancies I found in a lot of his sermons. And she had picked up on it, but she was trying to be polite because her grandmother wanted
your
to
male and
there.
Female slaves are to come from the nations around you. From
church.
Them you may buy slaves.
It was more of an
you may also buy some of the temporary residents living among
honestly,
you and
too.
Members of their clans
back,
born
like
in
you
your country,
Samantha, back in the
and
day,
it will become your property. You can bequeath them
to
your children as inherited
new,
property, and you can
to,
make them slaves for life, but you
was,
must not rule
you know,
over
thing.
Your fellow
and
Israelites
you
ruthlessly.
Something different. You learned a parable. You learned a story. You learned a concept. You learned a thought process. Because you had no real way of learning it yourself by outside means. If you were a sheep farmer, what you knew is sheep. And you knew grazing, you knew they shit a lot, you knew they were messy as fuck, you knew that you had to shear them. But that was it. That was your life experiences. So you would go to church to learn something new, learn about these other people, these other experiences, these other stories. And unfortunately, that's where people started warping things to their own will, which, as we've talked about, makes them, you know, either angry, fearful, or a little bit of both. And that's like nowadays, that's why after I got done with his sermons, I wrote down a lot of the shit he was pulling. And I read it out to my wife, and I was like, okay, so listen to this. And I read it out one way that was very directed at the concept of bringing this parable to a point of hatred. And then I read it another way, and I showed that you can take small sections of the Bible and tweak them to such polar opposites. Depending on how you present it, you can tweak every single portion of the Bible in one direction or the other. It all depends on how you deliver it.
And your point of view.
Exactly. And at that rate, the entire Bible in and of itself is corruptible to believers. But at the same time, it can also be reaffirming to believers. And that's the trouble we run into. People aren't willing to step away and go, this could be bullshit. This is just Game of Thrones for, you know, year one.
Go ahead, Samantha.
And that could be a tool to show what's truly in someone's heart, too.
True.
You know, how are you taking this? How do you see this? Because you can take a passage and be like, all right, death to all Jews. Like, you know,
right.
But, or you could take that same passage and be like, all right, candy bars to all Jews. Like, it's going to show.
I'm in favor of the candy bars.
Take all death.
Makes you wish.
You're lucky with the Church of England. But, so.
Oh, Henry.
what it's about is showing your true self and showing yourself your true self. How are you going to handle these things? And it's going to show people what's truly going on in your heart. And is this the type of person I want to be around? Is this the type of person that is going to align with how I feel things should not align, but, you know, is this someone I'm compatible with? Be it a friend, a pastor, a relationship, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a tool. I do not take the Bible literally.
Nor should you. I don't think anyone should.
I know people who do. Like, I know people who just take it word for word, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, but see, those are the people that need to understand that if they take the Bible literally and they're not living the Bible literally, they're dooming themselves to the hell that they fear.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, most of them have never read the Bible in its entirety, cover to cover. Most of them have gotten from their sermons or their pastor or their priest or whatever sections therein that got them on the thought process, and they've used those sections and tidbits to, just like, you know, they will, to bend to their will, to bend to their concepts.
But how do we know most of them don't? Because we have to take religion the same way we do anything else, is that when you turn on the news, who do you see recounting the action, the acts of what just happened? You see the trashiest person with the loudest mouth, the least educated, that's spouting off all this stuff, that this rhetoric they just heard second, third, fourth hand, not the educated person that's going to speak well to it. So the person who has read it multiple times, cover to cover, lives it literally, at least lives it in their heart literally.
Right.
They're not the ones that are speaking out mostly, and they're not the ones that are remembered. It's the people who have cocked go off, just like in anything in life.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are remembered.
And that's the sad part. That comes down to the extremist ideals of it.
Yeah.
The louder you are, the most noticeable you are. It's one of those things where there was a really cool passage that I actually used against somebody who was trying to tell me that, you know, since I didn't find Jesus in my heart, I was going straight to hell. I was like, Matthew 11:17, bro. I walked away.
Nah.
Matthew 11:17, do not worship me on the street corners. Worship me instead in a closet, in a closed room, under dark light, at a candle by your window. That's it. Mm-hmm. And it's one of my favorite sections. It's like, dude, don't get me wrong, Matthew on the whole is kind of a rough part of the book, but that in and of itself, just that section was just like, God, that's pretty. And it helps me shut people the fuck up, because they don't seem to realize when they're doing that, or they're using the Bible in an offensive way to somebody else, that they are literally going against what they're trying to do.
Because what really counts...
What's that?
Matthew
11:17,
I'm getting something totally
Oh, no, it's... No, you're right. I'll have to ask my wife. She's the one who remembers.
Well, that works too.
Really? No, there is one though. I'll look it up and I'll post it up for you.
Hey, Bryce, yeah. Since you've got your Bible verse hunting equipment ready,
get it.
Proverbs 20:30. Let me know when you got it. So this is a fun little chart that someone put up that says "You say" versus "God says." And it's nice because they put the Bible verse so we can get what the actual Bible says. So Proverbs 20:30. We, people say, torture is wrong. God says violence cleanses evil. This is Proverbs 20:30. You got it yet, Bryce?
What is it?
Yeah, but I'm not quite sure if this is what he's going for.
I'm just going on what they have here.
Torture is wrong.
Okay, that's kind of what he's saying. Violence cleanses evil.
Talk about flagellants here.
Yeah. Since we're in the Proverbs, how about Proverbs 13:24? We say beating children is wrong. God says if you do not beat your children, you hate them.
Discipline. If you do not discipline your child,
yeah,
not
so,
beat, but...
Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children spare it out of discipline.
So, beat your kid.
Not beat, discipline.
How about Leviticus 25:44-46?
Leviticus is always fucked up.
Bryce is happy.
This is the good stuff.
Okay, we say owning people and slavery is wrong. God says enslave your neighbors who worship other gods. Translation, Bryce? 20:44-46. 25:44. This awkward silence brought to you by the religion of your choice.
Your male and female slaves are to come from the nations around you. From them you may buy slaves. You may also buy some of the temporary residents living among you and members of their clans born in your country, and it will become your property. You can bequeath them to your children as inherited property, and you can make them slaves for life, but you must not rule over your fellow Israelites.
So, according to the Bible, we can still own slaves.
Yeah. However, the rub here falls into the category of, okay, which imaginary person is right? Muhammad recognizes Jesus as a prophet of God.
Mm-hmm.
By definition, makes him the follower of the same God, just under the different prophet rules, depending on which book you pay attention to. Buddha, same concept like Samantha brought up. Came to Jesus in a meditative state. Still talking about the same God, just different way of translating it.
Mm-hmm.
So then, what religions fall under that context of not believing in the same God?
Scientology?
Okay, yes. Absolutely. I will not argue that. By the way, Bryce, it was Matthew 6:5-15. You got it?
6:5-15.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And when you pray, do not keep on blah, 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 blah.
Because what matters, like, I don't know if that thing is, what matters is what you do when no one is watching. When you're on a show, when it's not an act.
Exactly.
Hey, Bryce, can you pull up Luke 12, 51 through 53? This one I find interesting, and I want to see, before I say what it says, I want to see what the Bible actually says.
My God, dog. Ah! Sorry, my dog's climbing on me. She won't leave me alone. Hi!
But she loves you.
She does. Hi, baby. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Suppose
ye
that I came to give
peace
on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division. For if one shall for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law.
Okay, so essentially this is Jesus saying that I did not come to bring peace, but I came to pit everyone against each other. Yet,
yes,
we say give peace a chance.
Well,
but to your point, there's a lot of contradictory, and it's written by several different people. We can play this game all day long. I just pulled up, you know, the 30 top Bible verses of love and encouragement in Scripture. So it's like we could play this game all day long.
Yeah,
exactly, and it goes
and
to the point.
And it's never going to end.
Yeah, and it goes to the point that Dan was making that, and I just brain farted on the point that you were making. God damn it. It's God working through me.
That you can take any part of the Bible
out of context and twist it to whatever your point of view is. And with that, folks, we have come to almost a full show. You guys, this is what I love about doing the show, is that we can all come together with all our different points of view and have a very logical discussion without, you know, devolving into name calling and hurt feelings and shit. I mean,
I want to piggyback. I need to piggyback off of that, because that's exactly what we need to be doing, is discussing, not fighting. Mm-hmm. People don't want to actively listen to each other. They don't want to act. They just want to be right. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. Shut up. I'm not even listening to you because I've already had my retort ready. I don't care what you're actually saying, but I only care that you hear what I'm saying.
And that's exactly the point I was about to make.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you.
No, it's fine.
I need to get this out of me.
I don't think I could have put it any more eloquently. We live in times right now where we're on the verge of complete collapse. We're under the rule of someone who's ruled by his ego, who doesn't want to listen to any other points of views because they don't mesh with how he thinks of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point, how he thinks of himself. He's not looking out for the people who he's supposed to be leading. At the same time, we're dealing with, on the other side of the world, another egomaniac who's ruled by his own self-doubt and fear. And the only way to prove that he's worth something is by showing his aggression.
Showing his so-called strength.
Exactly. And we're at a point where if we can't talk, lives are going to be lost. And we're at a point, like Samantha said, that we need to talk. We need to sit down and not devolve into name-calling and getting our points validated.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start listening to other people and accepting that they also have a point of view that is valid.
Because you want to know what being right gets you? Being right and $3.50 will get you a cup of coffee. Other than that, it's fucking useless.
Remember when it used to be a nickel?
Oh, God.
Well, probably no. Don't.
I remember the cheapest it was like 25 cents.
Yeah.
But still, it's one of those things where being right is so overrated in the respects that who really gives a shit when it comes right down to it?
Being right is not more important than
learning
something new.
Exactly. Or the betterment of us as a species, as a whole. We're at a point, we're on a verge here where we can reverse the damage we've done, or we can continue on and dig our own graves.
Oh, we're self-destructive creatures.
Oh, exactly. But we have the ability to not be.
True. We have the capacity to know better. And that's where we run into trouble, is the capacity to know what's different or what's wrong and what's right. That was something that was usually instilled in us as children, usually by our parents or by people we respected or all these other different folks who gave us their perspectives on life and taught us what the difference between right and wrong is. Unfortunately, we have too many people who would have the much more instinctual thought processes where if something pisses you off, it's wrong.
I think there's more people in this world that follow their basic, their most base of instincts, which is me, 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 me.
They're thinking of their dick. That's all.
Lizard essentially, yeah.
Jim, you're thinking with your dick.
So with that, all I can say to our listeners is try to be better. Don't be a shitheel.
Yeah, don't be a shitheel.
Thank you, Samantha. Thank you, Bryce. Thank
Praise
you, Dan.
Lord.
Hail Satan. And
I'll be praised.
Hopefully, we will get Jim's issues fixed so we can all come in and have another discussion like that. Until next time, thank you all so much for listening to Not Another Podcast. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.